Okay, so Clifford, power rankings, two towers.
Oh boy.
Now, just to throw a wrench in this to get us warmed up. I don't know if this will really get us warmed up. I think this will just it'll be a wrench. But anyways, to properly end two towers, this is something we have to discuss. What were the two towers in this book?
That's a great question.
Correct.
Hold on, let me
tell you. Actually, no. I want to hear your guess first. Sorry. Okay. It'll throw you off.
I think the two towers were Orthanc / Isengard, where Saruman was, and then Barad-dûr, where the Eye of Sauron is.
Okay, but we never saw that one.
No, but it overshadowed a lot of the two stories, the two chapters rather.
Okay.
The storm clouds coming out of Mordor, the Eye searching for things. I think that those were the two dominant dark forces vying for attention and destruction.
Okay. So those are the obvious ones. If you watch the movie Two Towers, I think those are the answer. Because those are the only two towers that you see in that movie.
Anyways.
But I would actually lean towards the second tower. Could just be this one that they were seeing in Cirith Ungol, where Frodo's now captured in.
Interesting. Okay.
Obviously the one's Isengard. Like that's no question. Orthanc's the one tower.
Mm-hmm.
Now the thing about this is, the other candidates, like you said, were Barad-dûr. But there is Minas Morgul, which we saw, you know, mm-hmm. like it sent up that great sign with like the lightning storm and everything.
Right.
And then there's also the counter to Minas Morgul is Minas Tirith, which didn't see, but Faramir was describing it, you know.
Right.
And
right.
Boromir might have described it before he died. Maybe Aragorn described it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's come up in conversation too. So there's and, really kind of like.
What's kind of cool about that comparison is that's like. These two books are on opposite sides of the river, one in the west, one in the east. Both are like making their trajectories relative to Minas Morgul or Minas Tirith. So it's like those two do ground the story really nicely, even though like we haven't spent much time at Minas Tirith. We haven't spent any time at Minas Tirith.
Right. So we have five candidates for the two towers, and the answer is completely ambiguous. Tolkien, he didn't really want the books to be divided into three parts, you know, because first of all, it's six books. So, mm-hmm. like, I actually, nowadays, I kind of wonder, besides, like, maybe printing in the 50s was different, but, like, why didn't you just make six books?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, like, that would have been easier. Anyways, he needed a filler name for the second volume, so he's just like, I don't know. Like, you know, and he was rushing to come up with things, I think, but he just finally was just like, whatever, two towers. It's just that, I don't know, two towers. Like, that's mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Like, let's move on, you know, like that'll do, you know. But he doesn't specify exactly which are the two towers. And I think that's up for personal interpretation. So,
okay.
Yeah. But the one has to be Orthanc. I think that's pretty obvious.
Maybe not.
No, it has to be. Well, I guess. The only way you say it's not is if it's Minas Morgul and Minas Tirith, but we didn't even see Minas Tirith, so it was like, no, I think that's out.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Conversation is now had. Should we move on to the rankings? All right. Do we have anything to preface? I got a lot to preface this. First of all, this was not nearly as easy as the Fellowship. This was way harder this time around. What do you think? Okay. Okay.
I think I agree. I have ideas why. Okay. Yeah. Why do you think it was?
So I think, all right. So book three was really tough because they were in Rohan for most of it. And I mean, like, the scenery was kind of changing and who the characters were changing and stuff, but it's basically the same location, almost same feel kind of, you know? Whereas the Fellowship, it's like, okay, the landscape's clearly changing every other chapter.
Each chapter's an episode.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they stayed in Lothlorien for like 2.5 chapters or 3 chapters, but I mean, like, whatever, you know, that's the longest you got. And so it's like, there's a different feel going on for each of them. Book four kind of had that, but it's really just more so 3 different sections. It's like before Faramir, with Faramir, after Faramir. So I really couldn't, I was so frustrated that it's just like, all right, whatever. These are the top 5. I can't put much stock into this. Like, you know, I can't keep thinking about this all day. I got other stuff to do. So,
okay.
And last thing, special mention. I thought just from our own personal episodes, I thought our Beowulf special was excellent to toot our own horn, which hopefully we don't usually do, but I thought the Beowulf special was really good. And so I'm sad that that's not an option.
Although it does kind of pair with...
I know, but I didn't pick that chapter. Okay. All right. So we're gonna go from your 5th favorite to your 1st favorite, right? And so if yours is 1, just try not to say it. Or, you know, try not to imply that it's lower on your list or higher on your list, you know, like coming up, you know. But we'll see. We'll
play. Okay, so we're gonna alternate 5-5 yeah. 4-4 3-3 2-1.
Yeah. Do you want to go first for 5?
Hold on. I announced it to just make sure I have to confirm that my order.
You didn't write it down?
I did write it down, but I'm making sure I feel good about all of this.
I know. Well, that's true. That's true too. Yeah, but I'm not doing that.
Second guessing myself.
I know. I'm not doing that. I've got it locked. That's that. We'll have honorable mentions at the end. where I can basically just say, oh, I liked all the rest of the chapters too.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, what's your number 5? You start.
Number 5, Flotsam and Jetsam.
Really? Really? Mm-hmm. Not in my top 5.
Okay.
Not in my top 5.
What was your 5?
No, you got to say why.
Oh, okay. It's a weird chapter. Like, not that much happens. But
it's also like a looking back chapter.
Yeah, but I don't know. There's the imagery just sticks with me. I mean, it happens to be drawn on the cover of my book also. It's like
what's the refresher? What happened in that chapter?
Flotsam and Jetsam is where it's the wreckage of the destruction of Isengard. So the Flotsam and Jetsam are literally the things floating around in this big flooded pool of Isengard, and so the company down from Helm's Deep shows up. They see. They reunite with Merry and Pippin, and yeah, it's kind of this coming together. So it's in some ways a boring chapter, but the imagery of it like sticks with me so distinctly.
Well, they recall the Ents totally destroying Isengard. I mean, that wasn't boring. Besides that, you already saw the effects of it from the beginning.
You know, you're absolutely right. And then everyone's unified together. So it's just like a good feel good. It was a feel good chapter.
It was a feel good chapter. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason, the wit, I can envision the water in a weird way for that one. Yeah. So it kind of stuck with me.
Yeah. Let me see the cover of your book.
It's like a illustration. All the books I have are like illustrations based on the movie.
Oh, that is flooded. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay.
All right.
What's yours?
Okay. Mine. 5th favorite chapter is Treebeard.
Okay.
So I'm putting it here. Like, I thought, I don't know. Again, this is the 4-5 was actually the whole thing was really hard to pick these. but I don't know. I just felt I couldn't leave this one off the list. It was really long and kind of dragged out, but that's the whole point. At least that's part of the point, right? But it was also super goofy and super unique. Like, super unique. Like, this is Tolkien at his absolute best. This is the kind of chapter that sets up all of the fantasy shelves that are now in every single bookstore, you know?
Right.
I mean, and, you know, everyone now knows what Ents are, and every single person likes Treebeard. Nobody dislikes that guy, you know? Yeah, and the Ents themselves too, like just the idea that, okay, the whole world's on the brink of destruction, and if there's one race that's screwed beyond all others, it's the Ents, because they don't even have, you know, female partners to reproduce. Mm-hmm. I mean, like they can't breed anymore. Mm-hmm. But they're still willing to play their part in the struggle. They're still, you know, and I loved their last marching song at the end. Like, dance, we're going to war. You know, like, mm-hmm. Oh, this is so awesome. Especially Token's reading of it. Like, that just gets me jacked. That gets me so pumped. So cool.
Agreed.
With doors of stone. The wise and guard be strong and hard and cold as stone and bare as bone. We go to war to hew the stone and break the door. For bowl and bow are burning now. The furnace roars. We go to war. To land of gloom, with tramp of doom, with roll of drum, we come. To Isengard, with doom, we come.
Should I take my number four, or should you?
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay. My number four is the White Rider. So the very next chapter, I guess, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I actually substituted this out. I had another one in here, but I was like, no. I was thinking about it. I can't not have this chapter. So this is where Gandalf comes back, you know, and... Mm-hmm. They have that super... So, first of all, the tide is now turned, apparently.
Uh-huh.
That's what Gandalf's saying the whole time. And they have that clairvoyant conversation with Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli. Uh-huh. And he's just saying, like, Sauron, wise fool. You know, he struck too soon. He struck too early. If he had, you know, he can't imagine that anybody's going to destroy the ring. You know, if he could imagine that we would just go to Mordor to destroy it, he could just guard Mordor, and we have zero chance to get in there.
Uh-huh.
But... He's now striking out too early, and this is, we got to capitalize on his mistakes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, mm-hmm. Dude, this is the good guy's mission all in a microcosm, like right there, one mm-hmm. chapter, mm-hmm. really quick. And it's just, this is what the book's about. I love this. It's an exciting time, especially after the kind of downer chapters, because he'd been down since Gandalf had died, but now it's like, well, now he's back.
And
it's dude, this is excellent. I'm excited.
Mm. Well, I gotta say, I didn't put that one in my top five, but now that you're describing it and I'm reflecting on it, I kind of wish I did. that was definitely a good one.
I almost didn't put it in my top five either, though. So,
okay.
All right, what is your number four?
Number four is the chapter that we just did an episode for, the Choices of Master Samwise, final chapter of the story.
Mm.
Wasn't initially going to be in my top five because in general, I like book three much more than book four. Book three is all the cool places and book four is like mostly sad, but
it's like evil and hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But doing this episode, I was like, you know what? This is a big deal. This chapter's an important one and it's pretty action packed. So it's an exciting one as well. So it made the cut.
Even with the, well, so the funny thing is, it's like, all right, the beginning's action packed because he fights the spider right off the bat.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like kind of just internally wrestling with himself. And then there's just a bunch of orc talk. Mm-hmm. And then Sam's just super pissed. But then it's like the ultimate cliffhanger in a book.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me,
the ultimate cliffhanger groups in the action packed. Makes it all feel action packed.
Yeah, that's fair. I actually just said, you know, like basically I didn't put this or the chapter before in, uh-huh. and I basically said so because it's like if there were one chapter, it'd definitely be in here. Okay. But like if Shelob's Lair and Choices of Sam were one thing, I'd put it in, but separated, they don't make the cut.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. My number three?
Yes.
Okay. My number three was Helm's Deep.
Whoa. Uh-huh. Dude, Helm's Deep? All right, this was a shock. This did not make my list.
I didn't think it would, because I remember you had some skepticism about it. But it is, I think we agree, the best battle scene in the whole series. Or do you disagree?
No, I don't think I've ever said I agree.
Okay.
And everybody even likes the movie better. And I guess I understand why. And then I guess I can admit, too, from a... you know, film standpoint,
uh-huh.
like Helm's Deep is better filmed than the battles in Return of the King, but
uh-huh.
nah, I'm a Return of the King guy.
That's fair. I like those two. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Helm's Deep just felt too singular to pass up.
I did love the end. Like, the end, the last couple pages where they're just breaking out, and then it's all of a sudden... Because it really did feel... Not that I would know. It really did feel like... Token, you know, like they're climbing out of the trenches because they're, you know, they're in like their last gasp, you know, like they're just rolling the dice and they're going to do a charge. And right. then they do the charge and then it's like, what's going on? You know, like it's all different. Like there's a forest out there right. and then Gandalf comes and it's like, oh, that's so epic and awesome. But I don't know. There's a slight chance I didn't pick it just because I hoped you'd pick it.
Okay. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty good one.
Okay. What's your
okay, three? My number three. All right. So this is where, so my list, I don't know. My first two chapters is like, all right, obviously they have to be on here. This is where, because I also like book three more than book four as mm-hmm. well, but this is where my list starts to just go off the rails where like I'm surprised. It's like, these are my favorite chapters from Two Towers. And this also just, you know, it adds to the thing that this was really a hard choice.
Yeah.
Anyways, my chapter, my third choice is The Stairs of Cirith Ungol. So this is like when they pass Minas Morgul. I thought that scene was just particularly, he set the mood perfectly. It seemed alien, otherworldly. Uh-huh, you know, and uh-huh. I thought that was excellent. Like the only other time that he had done that was the sea monster outside of Moria. You know, that yeah, was like yeah. probably some subterranean creepy glowy thing, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but I got that vibes here with Minas Morgul, and it was, especially since he was describing it, like, it was very beautiful, but it was just so creepy.
Yeah, that was a great place setting.
Yeah, and then, especially if you compare Minas Morgul to Shelob's Lair, like, Shelob's Lair was, like, really dreadful, whereas Minas Morgul, I mean, it was also dreadful, but in a clearly different way, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And Shelob's Lair, it's just like, oh my gosh, this sucks. Like,
right.
This is, oh my gosh. Whereas Minas Morgul, it's like, oh, that's like peak creepy. And then like the storm and everything, and the Nazgul passing, and then like there was the parts too where Frodo was just, he was crying because he's just like, oh my gosh, this is the army that Faramir was waiting for. Like, it's going to completely overrun Minas Tirith. Like, mm-hmm. even if I achieve a quest, like, the good guys are screwed. I just saw this huge thing go by. Mm-hmm. But then he realizes, like, well, no, you got to go on with the mission. You got to get up. You just got to power through it, you know, and that's what he does. And then they get up the stairs, and then him and Sam sit, and then they have that conversation about the stories, and I absolutely loved it. That's another one where it's just, this is what Lord of the Rings is all about. I love this. You know, it's super meta that they're getting into, whoa, what's the story going to be like? And, you mm-hmm. know, everything about that. And I thought, I don't know, go back to our conversation about it too, because it's just like, that's more stuff like us having our own stories. I think that's needed now more than possibly ever before in like the 21st century, as we just get content churned out and spit in our face. But mm-hmm. you know, is it really the level that we're not deserve, but level that we need? Mm-hmm. I guess. So
that's a great pitch. Once it, yeah. that well, did thanks. Not make my top five, but yeah,
okay,
it's a great description.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Again, my list is weird. Number two. I could have actually seen this being number one, but for some reason I only left it at number two. Number two is The Road to Isengard.
Mm.
I love that chapter. I think that actually came through when we were recording it. Like, I love that chapter. So it's the one after Helm's Deep. So it starts mm-hmm. with them meeting Gandalf, and then they see the forest, and then they walk through the forest. And obviously they have that, like, I still remember the very first time I read it, and I thought it was like, man, this is going on for like five or six pages of Gimli talking about caves and Legolas talking about mm-hmm. forests. And like, it was a drag the very first time I ever read it, but it's like, this is a scene I'm never going to forget. Partly because it took forever, but partly because it's like, I mean, this is interesting. And now, like, I go back and read it now, and it's just like, dude, listen to, like, I couldn't appreciate good descriptions, I guess, when I was in high school, but listen to Gimli talk about these caves. Like, mm-hmm. this seems like the coolest place ever. And then they get out of the forest, and Théoden's there, and they see the Ents shepherding the trees, and Théoden and the Riders really are just, like, jaw-dropped, dumbfounded. Mm-hmm. Every single fairy tale is coming to life, and, like, Tolkien clearly hypes on that, and it's just, that is what book three was all about for me. Like, that's why I love book three, is that Rohan was the normal guys in trouble. And then in their darkest hour, what's happening? Stuff beyond belief. Like, all your childhood fairy tales are coming true, and that's what's going to happen. And then they get to Isengard, and like, there was the Dark Tower there, you know, and it describes how Orthanc's really just a cheap imitation of the real Dark Tower and Barad-dûr. And then it's a goofy reunion with the hobbits at the end. I thought, you know, that chapter had quite a lot. And it was like the ultimate victory lap. Like, there's no suspense, but it was just a completely enjoyable chapter from start to finish.
Agreed. I realized that I bracketed that chapter with Helm's Deep and Flotsam and Jetsam.
Oh, yeah.
But didn't include it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a very good one.
Yeah. All right, what do you got for number two, then?
Number two, I've got Window on the West. Maybe a little bit of a curveball. I feel similarly. Like, I feel like I'm all over the place with this. But, Anyways, Window on the West, when they're in Faramir's special Robin Hood cave.
Yeah.
With this waterfall, like, pouring down over the Forbidden Pool. It's just such a cool place. Absolutely. Like, one that I was just like, oh my god, if there's a place I want to go, that's definitely one of them.
The rainbow shining through the water and stuff. Oh my gosh.
It's also
go on.
After like the how kind of demoralizing a lot of Frodo and Sam's journey is, this was such a rejuvenating chapter. So
yeah, absolutely. Like, all right, so I'll just spoiler now. This was my number one. I love the Grace Before Dinner reference, not just because it gave us like the talking point, because that was a big conversation, but it's just, I don't know, that it's interesting to see him do that, you know, and like, if you're somewhat looking for it, then that is like, kind of slaps you over the face. It's like, whoa, this is the first religious, you know, practice in these books. And then they have that conversation with Faramir afterwards. Like, that chapter was so big, we actually cut out the conversation. I want to go back to it, and I think we might. But, I mean, like, talking with Faramir, and Faramir, not to be outdone, like, Faramir was the man that chapter. This is where we found out how good a guy he is. You know, it's like, from the beginning, when he's interrogating Frodo, he's as good as Aragorn, you know, guessing out what Frodo's leaving out. And then he's also just, he's better where Boromir had failed before, you know, and it's like, oh, awesome. And then it was even sad too, because there's like a twinge of like, you know, Faramir's sad because he had just seen Boromir's body float by a couple of days ago. I mean, yeah, I thought that was an excellent chapter. But admittedly, I'm still surprised that takes my number one. But what's your number one then?
My number one, you already had, Treebeard.
Oh, that is a number one for Clifford.
I love it for many reasons, as you already described. Yeah. It's a classic. I knew it subconsciously, but I didn't even think until you brought it up how that chapter probably has like more resonance outside of Lord of the Rings than like almost any other single chapter.
Yeah.
That's just like, it's so iconic.
But
it's also just really cool. And it's almost like that section alone, I feel like, has colored my view of like modernity and like big aspects of society and things like that. Like, this
interesting.
Not to like over make too big a deal out of it, but Tolkien's characterizations of like industrialization and the changing tides of nature and all that are just so well put and so resonant, I guess. Like, I don't generally feel like nostalgic or whatever. Like, I like modern things and cities and all that, but that chapter, like, almost single-handedly, when I was younger, when I read it, was like, oh, like, you know, what have we done?
Interesting.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, see, I feel like, I mean, it was easy with the Fellowship, because my favorite chapters were the nostalgic elf ones. It's like, oh, this just, straight to my heart. Uh-huh. But I guess you're slightly saying that's different, but yeah, you still feel that with Treebeard and mm-hmm. in a different way, but also, yeah, clearly for you, a more powerful way. Mm-hmm. All right. I do want to say honorable mentions though. Possibly the Saruman chapter where he's talking. I thought Saruman was pretty damn interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Either Saruman or even the Plantir chapter. I mean, both were good. Probably the Saruman chapter was better.
Yeah.
Then the one that I was really close to putting on, but I substituted White Rider in it for at the last minute. I wanted to put in the Riders of Rohan where Aragorn, you know, they're running across and then they meet Éomer. Mm-hmm. And like Aragorn was just... I love that conversation with him because that's where it's like it's introducing Rohan's darkest hour.
Mm-hmm.
But then Aragorn, like Éomer's almost like too, like, man, what are we supposed to do in such a dark time? And Aragorn's just like, what we've always done, you know, like good and evil hasn't changed, right and wrong hasn't changed. You just gotta keep going, plow through, you know, like just Aragorn was just so on point that chapter, so absolutely on point. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I guess the other only, neither of us mentioned it, but King in the Golden Hall, I mean, that's a pretty iconic one where they go meet Théoden. And that's like, that really does get pretty close to the Beowulf stuff. So,
that one almost made me top five as well.
Yeah, yeah, so that one's pretty good too.
Anyways, yeah. it's a fine reminder of the many exciting things that we haven't seen in an entire book. And I think we're eager to pick up where things left off.
Dude, yeah, I gotta say, book five is some sort of pinnacle of literature. It's absolutely. I mean, you know, I think we did say this. I think we said at the beginning of Two Towers that Two Towers starts to dwarf Fellowship of the Ring pretty damn quickly. You get that sense a little bit, you know, like from Boromir, and then quickly you're getting into Rohan and their whole struggle and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, it's going to happen again. this is going to get real big here, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Frodo actually seeing Miss Morgul was actually like a pretty good stepping stone towards it, seeing the huge army come out and stuff. But it's like, dude, we're going to see that army. We're going to see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Get the hell ready. This is awesome. And then, of course, book six, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's such an excellent wrap-up.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievably thorough, to be honest. But, all right, just a little spoiler. I don't think we're ready for Return of the King yet. I think we got to do, we're not going to spoil it right now, but I think we got to do some...
Some special preparation.
I think we got to learn, you know, a good history about Gondor before we properly enter it.
Cool.
That might be obnoxious, but this is just what I think's best, and with Clifford's approval, we're gonna do it.
Okay.
So yeah, stay tuned. I think there's gonna be a few special episodes. I think the next thing that'll come out, we'll slowly introduce them. Is the deal. But yeah, if you don't have anything else, I think that should do it.
All right,
dude. Two Towers done. Unbelievable.
Congrats.
Yeah, 3/4 of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for doing this. And thank you, Clifford, for continuing to do this. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Thanks to you as well. Thanks, y'all.